said, "Have you ever went to this church down here on the corner?" She said, "Yeah," she said, "I've been there." But she said, "I've been thinking about going back there pretty seriously instead of driving all the way into town." So, but maybe we stirred her up a little bit to get her to go into church out there, maybe. Never know. We want to turn here to 1 John. Let me get over here out of the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, we'd like to read one verse there. Verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." We'd like to go to Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. It's on page 944. There in the Old Testament. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. We'd like to preach tonight on how to be saved and be sure of it. How to be saved and be sure of it. Jonah here said, salvation is of the Lord. No doubt this has been asked by many, been stated by many. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not at all in what you do or you don't do. Salvation is of the Lord, and we're going to try to explain that as we go along. And in fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 16, a very familiar passage of Scripture, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, "And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You know, I can't improve on that answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The word saved is a Bible word. I can remember when I was lost, I would have people come up to me and witness to me and ask me if I was saved. And I thought to myself then, I thought, what do they mean, saved? You know. But the word is mentioned all the way through the Bible. Unless you're saved, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. It's very important that you know what it means to be saved. Not to have a head knowledge of it, but to be touched in the heart by it. And so, salvation is of the Lord. It's more than just a head knowledge. I believe many today have just a head knowledge. That's all the further that it's gone. It takes more than that. I believe salvation is a supernatural revelation from the Lord. It's more than just walking down an aisle. It's more than just coming forward because maybe several other of the girls came forward. Or during a revival meeting, maybe there was a few others of the friends that were saved. And maybe some of the guys came forward and they were saved. Made a profession. They just walked the aisle. I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen in my own church. And a few years later, they would come forward and they would say, "Brother Jones, I never was saved. I've never had what you have been preaching about concerning salvation. I believe that the Lord must give you saving faith and repentance. And I believe He does this through two means. And I believe He always uses them both. One is the Word, and the other is the Holy Spirit. They go together. And I believe that the Lord uses both. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God." Very important. In the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I believe the Lord would have us to know tonight that the sinner is condemned already. You're condemned already. You don't have to commit one sin. You're condemned already. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You must first of all, by God's grace, come to the realization that you are a sinner. Now, do you understand that? By the aid of the Holy Spirit, there must be a spiritual conviction that this is true. That you're a sinner. You should feel guilty, ashamed, unclean, and that the condemnation of God is now upon you, and that He's just. Realize that He would be right now. He would be just right now, before this service is over, to plunge you into hell. You must realize that. By the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit of God showing you those things. In Luke chapter 13 verse 5 says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And if you feel conviction, it is because of God's grace that you feel this way. And I hope tonight that you may feel not only afraid of God's just judgment because of being in a sinful state that you're in, but you may feel sorry that you have so sinned against the holy and just and loving God. And I believe that this works repentance in your heart. You cannot reform yourself. You cannot reform yourself. I tried that. I tried to reform myself. I would come home and I would tell my wife, I would say, I'm going to do better. And you know what I did? I did better. I turned over a new leaf. But it was just temporary. Y'all know what I'm talking about, some of you? I had all good intentions of doing better, of straightening up my life. But I just had a temporary cure. And so as I've said, you must realize that no amount of effort on your part can ever save your soul. Salvation is of the Lord. Walking down that aisle is not going to save you. Coming down and sitting on that pew and the preacher having prayer with you is not going to save you. Coming up here and kneeling in front is not going to save you. That will not save you. If you wept over your sin until your neighborhood was flooded, that is not going to save you. You can be sincere as you can be. That only will not save you. And you could be baptized until you were waterlogged. That will not save you. You could join all the churches in the state of Michigan. That will not save you. You would still be as unsaved as you are right now. We want to notice three basic facts here tonight. Number one is, you have sinned. You have sinned. And as a corrupt sinner as I was, I did not realize that I was a sinner. I always thought I was a pretty good guy. Always got along with everybody. And most people liked me, I guess. And I thought I was, you know, not bad. I didn't realize that I was a sinner. But in Romans chapter 3, again here, we'd like to look at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Are we, the Jews, better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. If you're not a full-blooded Jew, you're a Gentile. So that got all of us. That they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That got every one of us. There's not one right. Not one righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You have sinned. God's word says you have sinned. God's word says you're a sinner. His word says you need to be saved by the grace of God. Now, let us go to the Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's go to chapter 7 and verse 20. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so, that's the first basic fact that we want to establish tonight. Is that you have sinned. The second thing we'd like to notice, the second fact is, the wrath of God abides upon you because of your sin. The wrath of God. The eternal judgment of God abides upon you because of your sin. Now, let's go back here to the book of Romans once again. And let us notice in chapter 1. And verse 18. For the wrath of God, the intense, total outrage of God. Whew. Well, that puts a little bit more meaning on it, doesn't it? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God abides upon you every step you take. Everywhere you go, the wrath of God is abiding upon you. You say, well, I didn't know that. And you could go out into eternity lost without the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior any moment. Now, let's go to the book of John. The Gospel of John. Chapter 3. And I want to show you this. He that believeth on Him, in verse 18. 3:18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that's why people are not being saved. As their deeds are evil. But he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're condemned already. Now, let's turn back here to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. And let us notice chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. And let's notice verse 20.
the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, let's notice in the book of Psalms, chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9, verse 17. The wicked sinner, friend, listen to me, please. The wicked, the sinner, shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Sinner, one of these days, you continue on in your lost and undone condition, you're going to be turned into hell. The Lord is going to do that. Satan's demons are not going to do that. Somebody was putting on a skit or whatever you want to call them down our way, or a drama, I believe they called it, on hell. And this guy was telling me, he says, "Man, that was really cool." I said, "That was really neat." He said it showed these guys, three teenagers were out drinking and they got in a car wreck and they got killed. And the demons were there and cast them into hell. I said, "That sounds good and it may look good to you." And he said, "Man, you ought to saw the people that were saved that night." The demons don't cast you into hell. The Lord is going to do that. Well, the devil really liked that. He doesn't have that kind of power. And one of these days, the Lord is going to cast the devil into hell. But sinner friend, that's where you're headed. Unless the Lord intervenes, deals with your heart concerning the Word of God, concerning salvation, that's where you're headed. And that's the only cry you've got. As Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you don't do something for me, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm headed. Listen, faking it is not worth it. Don't fake it. I don't care how long you've been a member of a Baptist church, how many times you've been dunked. Don't fake it. It's not worth it. All eternity depends on you repenting of your sins, truly repenting of your sins, being under true conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and the Lord revealing to you that you're lost, that you're undone, and that you need salvation more than anything in the world. So that's the first fact. You sin. And that the wrath of God abides upon you because of your sin. And thirdly, that Jesus Christ gave Himself to ransom people as stated here in the Word of God. that I've just read. In Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20. And verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many. He gave His life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. Jesus Christ paid for every one of my sins. Hallelujah. And whosoever will may come. And whosoever will may come. If you want cleansing from your sins, if you want the favor of God, if you want to be brought near to the Lord, it is because of His divine grace that you have these desires. And I believe the only ones that will come is those that are hungering, those that are thirsty. And Jesus Christ is the water of life. Can you trust Him tonight? Can you trust His work on the cross of Calvary? If you can, I can say to you, as the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And let me say this also. That salvation is in a man, not a plan. I have not pointed you to prayer. I have not pointed you to baptism. I have not pointed you to church membership. I have not pointed you to good works. Not a plan of human steps for salvation. God's plan of salvation is Jesus Christ crucified for your sins. I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And may God in His mercy tonight bring you to the place of knowledge that Christ died for you. And when you long for peace of mind and security of heart about your salvation, don't look back to any act or change in or by yourself. Look back to the cross of Calvary. Because that work is certain. It was rightly motivated. It's divine. And its effect is eternal. Everything else that you might do is only temporal. We're preaching something to you tonight that is eternal. I'm saved tonight because He died for me.
You say, well, how do you know you're saved? I was there when it happened. And everybody else that has ever been saved was there when it happened. The Lord, every person that the Lord has ever dealt with, He has dealt with them on a personal basis. Salvation is between you and Him alone. Everybody He has ever saved, He has dealt with them personally. And so I'm saved tonight because He died for me. I have security tonight because He died for me. I have hope of heaven tonight because He died for me. You say, well, Brother Jones, I don't have that kind of experience. I'm afraid you may not have salvation. Has the Holy Spirit of God dealt with you personally? You say, well, Brother Jones, I don't know. Because I was only about 4 or 5 years old when I was saved. That's one thing you'll never forget. You'll never forget how you were saved. I'm not trying to get you to make a profession of faith. I'm just trying to show you maybe that you have made a false profession. A false profession won't get you there. Are you saved tonight? Do you have that security? Do you have that hope? Right now, if you would die tonight, do you have that assurance of knowing that you're going to get that you're going to go to heaven? Right now. You can be saved right now. The Holy Spirit of God tonight has touched your heart, maybe tonight or maybe during the meeting. Has spoken to you, has showed you that you're lost, that has showed you that you're a sinner, showed you that the wrath of God is abiding upon you right now, and that any moment you could be plunged into hell. Trust Him. He'll save your soul. He'll deliver you. He'll give you that blessed hope. He'll give you that security of knowing that you're saved by the grace of God. You say, well, Brother Jones, I may do that next week. You may not have another week. You say, I'm going to take care of that next month. You don't have another month. Say, I've been aiming to get that taken care of a year ago. You don't have another year. You know what you have? Huh? Now. That's all you have. Is it right now? Right now. Can you trust Him? Can you come tonight? As we have a song leader come, lead us in a song of invitation. Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you. We urge you to come. What's our number, Brother Dave? Page 487. You come tonight. Brother Titus will be here. Any way that he can help, you come.